It's Tuesday, Mike.
That's true. I could confirm that.
Do you know what that means in this BPP universe?
Tuesday is Sunday at Carvel.
That's true.
Actually, it's Wednesday. Gotcha.
Oh, shoot.
I
You
think it's
always
Prince Spaghetti
lie.
Day.
Okay, no. Tuesday in the BPP universe means that it's New Music Tuesday. That means we take a few minutes to survey what new music is dropping this week. And this
Dropping? Is
dropping,
that
that's
some like
official, that's
verb that the
industry.
kids use?
I thought that was that, like what cool people said about music that
Yeah,
was
that's why I
happening.
don't
Yeah,
know
Manoli's giving me the thumbs up.
it.
It's clearly why I sound so authentic saying that. So this week, it's a musical journey with a few twists, a few turns. Some will surprise and delight. Others may well do the opposite of surprise and delight. I don't know what that, bore and punish. What do you think? The opposite of surprise and delight.
Yes.
Stymie and stultify. Nevertheless, we shall approach each as a new listening adventure. Here to help us navigate these soundscapes is Josh Freedom DeLock. He's the pop music critic for the Washington Post. Hey, Josh.
I'm here to stymie and stultify. Good morning.
Stymie
Isn't that the title of your first solo LP?
and Actually, my autobiography coming soon. Thank you.
stultify.
This guy can stultify like no others.
Hey, Josh, we want to start with what's new on deck from Tom Shimura, who is better known as the artist Lyrics Born. His new album comes out today. It's called Everywhere at Once. So a little background on this guy. He grew up in Tokyo and Salt Lake City, not really the hotbeds of rap music, right?
No, but back in the day, as they say in the hip hop world, when he was still known as Asia Born, his previous hip hop name, he was at the University of California, Davis, where somehow, some way, there was a really great and exciting group of hip hop people there: DJ Shadow, Blackalicious, Latif, and they came together to form the Soulsides Collective. So, there is a bit of a history in the West Coast of great indie rap, and the Soulsides crew. Was definitely a part of that. So
And he went on to
this is
found Quantum Projects, right, in the Bay
yeah.
Area
So
label.
Soulsides became Quantum, and it's a label. It's a I guess a mindset too, as these things go. But this is his second solo album. He's also done some duo stuff with Latif as Latyrics. But he's kind of a really interesting guy in that he had some regional success with the first album, an underground hit that I guess became a Diet Coke commercial. He has a little bit of a national following, but not a big one. But he's a pretty interesting
Well,
artist. And
that's
he's got some aspartame cred from that Diet Coke. Now,
that's
wait,
what everyone's looking
you want
for,
to hear it? And then I
aspartame
want to
cred.
ask about what that kind of, what do you call it, mindset. I want to
We've
ask about
got
that.
two tracks to listen to. Let's listen to the first one from the new album, Everywhere at Once. This song is called Whispers.
Mother, father, brother, hella people I ain't seen. I sat next to Head, who was still in shock himself. We still ain't had a chance yet for him to tell me how. Then they brought his body out, completely wrapped in linen. That's when it finally hit me. My best friend's no longer living. My chest caved. I felt intense pain around my rib cage.
Is it just me, or does he sound like Tone Loc?
He does sound a little bit like Tone Loc. I mean, he has a very distinctive, well, I guess not distinctive if it sounds like Tone Loc, but, this real gravelly, growly voice. That's probably not the best example of a song to showcase his vocal style because, he's a very, his rhyme schemes are generally really tricky and, complex, and he's a very fast-tongued rapper, if you will.
So what do you think about this album, Josh?
Well, I think it's a good album. His debut later that day I liked a little bit better. I mean, this one features mostly live instrumentation. The first one was built around samples and, spackle, I guess. It just was constructed in a more interesting way, and I think lyrically it was a little more interesting, too, to me.
It sounds a little like one of those late-night DJs that they have in Los Angeles in some places who will welcome you to their crib.
Yeah, it's... I'm sorry, I was going to say, I mean... some of his other material, like I said, his rhyming, his meter is, he sort of kicks it up several notches, and it probably wouldn't work late night because it would scare you out of your bed.
We've got one more track. Let's listen to another a track off this album. The album's called Everywhere at Once. Let's take a listen. Can't front, I want it all in one lump sum. Girl, you got me sitting on my hands and thumb. I ain't done. Girl, you got the magic touch. You've seen every man out there and passed him up except one. Baby girl, that's what's up. I can't wait for the day when we hang and tough. I said, I'm not sure what you did to me, but I like it. I love it. So, Josh, is that maybe a little more illustrative of you think of what you think he can do well?
Yeah, a little more. I just think that this, you know, this album is generally not as interesting as his debut. I mean, it you know, it's entertaining, just not quite as engaging and engrossing as the first album. You know, a track like I Like It, I Love It, which you just, you know, which we're listening to now, it's, you know, it's relatively straightforward, you know, bright instrumental, sharp vocal hook, but it's a pretty simple song and you know, probably not the most interesting thing you're going to hear all spring.
Would you say, technically speaking, he is rapping? It sounds like halfway between rap and singing to me.
Yeah, there he's, you know, he's sort of doing the sing-song thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you sort of dig into his catalog a little bit, you'll find some really interesting lyrics and you know, just some of the way he constructs his rhymes. It can be pretty fascinating, but, you know, this album,
maybe
I'm not
the
sure
best example. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Taking a little turn here, Billy Bragg. New album's called Mr. Love and Justice. Billy Bragg, former busker, punk rocker, protest singer, Woody Guthrie interpreter. What do you think of this new album, Josh?
Well, I mean, you know, Billy at, I guess he's what, 50 years old now, like 30 some years into his career, probably not looking to reinvent the wheel. So, you know, still that same old blend of funk, polk and protest rock. Yeah. Polk would be interesting too, but, you know, singing about love, war and politics. And you sort of get that straight away from the title, Mr. Love and Justice. I mean, you sort of know it's Billy Bragg, same as he ever was, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I like Billy Bragg.
Right.
Let's listen to a cut from the new album. This song is called I Keep Faith.
I know it takes a mess of courage to go against the grain. You have to make great sacrifice for such a much pain. And if your plans come to nothing, washed out in the rain, let me rekindle all your hopes and help you start again, because I keep faith.
So you don't think this is going to attract any new listener who's not already a fan of Billy Bragg?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, look, that's the first single, and it's also the opening track to the album, and I rather like that song, but you're not going to hear Billy Bragg on Top 40 commercial radio or in your dentist's office, as, you know, as good as that song is. Yeah, maybe. You know, I don't know, you know, how does Billy Bragg reach new fans at this point?
And does he care?
You know, Yeah, I do think that, you know, it's interesting that the best moments here are actually the relationship songs, which, you know, suggests that, you know, maybe he's mellowing in his old age a little bit. You know, maybe he's found greater meaning by eschewing outrage for something like tenderness. But, you know, the relationship songs on this album are, to me, more successful than the sociopolitical ones.
I was going to say, you could find him in your dentist's office if the dental hygienists were organizing. Then he might have a song to accompany that. But that song was a little like John Hyatt's Have a Little Faith in Me, which has the
I mean, there's, you know, there's
vocals
there's kind of a sweetness there, and you know, Robert Wyatt singing backing vocals, and I think the if I'm not mistaken, the pianist and organist in his band now is Ian McLagan of Small Faces, so it's kind of interesting.
Now we shall take yet another twist and turn into the world of the Simpson family, Ashley, to be exact. She's got a new album out, Bittersweet World, it's called. Now, she, Ashley Simpson, has been kind of hailed as the bad girl to the Jessica Good girl. This album is I'm not frightened of it. I don't think she comes off as looking very bad or mean. I don't know if that's the point. It's heavily produced. She's got some big names on there, though. Let's listen to one of the new songs before we dive into this. It's called Out of My Head.
Talking way too much.
Okay, now
please get out of my head.
If the criteria for a good song is that everyone's kind of moving and kind of into it. I was going to say, everyone in the studio is like bebopping their heads and everyone's moving, but then I got the thumbs down on that. Okay, fine.
I kind of like it. I liked it better when it was Madonna's Burning Up For Your Love. It sounds like the same
song.
Well,
yeah, exactly. I mean,
Burning Up.
This was produced by Timbaland, right?
Produced by Timbaland and a team of others. I mean, the funny thing about that song, it's the first single from the album. Simpson says that it's about everybody trying to influence her. And I quote here, "I just have too many voices in my head, everyone having their own opinion." And you look at the credits for this album and she's got something like a dozen writers and a half dozen producers. And, you know, it's like an army of people have been deployed to try to make, make this album a hit. And that's kind of funny to me.
You know, it's crazy. Avril Lavigne, her, Britney Spears, all these heavily produced teenage, when they started out, girls, their second or third album is always the people who talk to me too much and I gotta be left alone. That's always their theme.
Yeah, and, you know, she really hates attention, clearly, because, this whole thing with her fiancé, Pete Wentz, the Fall Out Boy, and whether or not she's pregnant, I mean, they have everybody talking about this. And, you know, it's sort of interesting. Many more people have asked me what I think about, you know, her relationship with Pete Wentz than her music, which is sort of telling, I guess.
Well, lest we stray off into uncharted waters about the Simpson family, we're gonna take another turn here. We're gonna talk about something that we can't even play music for. Actually, it's a new album by Elvis Costello. It's called Momofuku and named, apparently, we have surmised, for the chain of Asian restaurants in New York run by celebrity chef David Chang. What is the deal with this? It's not actually out, or it's coming out on vinyl with an MP3 download option. What's the deal, Josh?
See, my take is that he released an album called Momofuku just so he could get into Chang's new restaurant, Momofuku Co., you know, the 12-seater.
Yeah, exactly.
The album comes out today on vinyl, and I guess you get a download code so you can put a copy of the album on your iPod without, having to do the turntable through the LP dock thing. CD comes out in 2 weeks, and I suppose it's a statement by Elvis about the vitality and superiority of the vinyl format. Either that or he's just, who really knows what he's up to. But, he's not the first artist to release an album on vinyl before CD. Bruce Springsteen did it with Magic last year, and it's been a pretty popular gamut since the mid-90s, when everybody from Nirvana and Johnny Cash to Pearl Jam were doing the same thing. Not really sure what he's up to. Not sure if it's a good album. Haven't heard it.
Haven't heard any leaks about what might be on it. No?
Yeah, and I'm all about portability and instant gratification, so until I can, use a couple of keystrokes to put it on my iPod, I will wait to listen to it.
He always does interesting things, though, like putting unknown tracks on all his CD re-releases and so forth.
Yeah.
And when you have a built-in fan base like he does, like Nine Inch Nails, like Radiohead, you can do these things and sort of work outside of the box a little bit.
And I will say that Momofuku, if your theory is right, he wants a seat, much smarter title than Olive Garden.
What should I buy this week, Josh, out of these offerings?
I would say the Billy Bragg album first, and then save your money for a big April 29th.
All right.
Sounds good. Hey, Josh, thanks so much. Josh Freedom Deluck, he's the pop music critic for The Washington Post. We appreciate you being here, and that does it for this hour of The Bryant Park Project. We're online all the time at npr.org. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Mike Pesca, Bryant Park from NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
Lashley Simpson.